The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivaro Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well, had a good weekend, and all refreshed and ready to go for the week. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or 325-5249. If you want to give us a call from the Family Islands, the numbers are 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. A couple of things today we might look at. The Guardian, the Nassau Guardian has an article in it today written by Candia Ames. Executive editor of the Nassau Guardian, says $11 monthly VAT savings after doing a calculation that involved dividing the amount of revenue that the government says it's going to forego by the number of households. That the government says it's going to forego $15 million this year because of the VAT savings, the VAT reduction. Now, does the government mean this calendar year? Okay, because that matters. Or does it mean this fiscal year? Is they're not the same. We can look at both. So you divide that 15 million she did by the number of households that the Bahamas National Statistical Institute said in its census exists, 2022 census, which is 118,221 households. And when you do that calculation, you get $127 per household saved on an annual basis over 12 months. And then when you divide that amount by 12 months, then you get the $11 per month is how she did the calculation, right? Or at least the balance of the year, which is, I think... April to, as it kicks in April to December, right? And so so it's $11 a month. Now, that's an an average based on the number of households. Clearly, there are people who may actually save less because they spend less, or there are people who are going to save more because they spend more. But the calculation, it gives a kind of estimate of what savings people are likely, people can realize doing that calculation, right? there are other ways to calculate it. As she points out in her article, you could look at the average household income as indicated by the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, which is around $44,000, $45,000. You can then look at what we typically say a household spends out of its income on food, which could be anywhere between 10, 15%. Some people could go up to 20%. It depends. So we just given estimates. And then you could take that number and calculate what that 10 to 15% means for a household spending on food, and then calculate 5% of that amount as what would have been paid in VAT. And then you can know on an annual basis, on a monthly basis, what somebody might spend on food based on that calculation, because you now know the amount of VAT they will not be paying, because VAT is now zero on those food items. And so that would be around $28 is where the calculation in the article comes from, right? So you have that. All of that is like a really blunt estimate of savings, right? It's really blunt. It could be true for some people. It could be absolutely untrue for other people, but because it's just blunt. It's a way of trying to get at a number in a rational way. But I have a better question. You know what you spend on food. I know what I spend on food. And so I'm asking you, let's talk about what a 5% to 0% savings might mean. And let's see what we come up with. Let's see what ranges of savings we come up with for VAT reduction on food. So, like me, right? My kids are all over the place, right? My wife is not in my house, right? Because she's in another place. So food, we have to calculate food for them elsewhere in the world. So I'm here on the regular. So the question is, what do I spend on a weekly basis on food? Uncooked food from the grocery store. Me. My estimate is that I spend $250 a month on food. That's right, $250 a month on food. And that's more expensive for me because I really am trying to eat healthier. So I'm buying organic stuff where I can. I'm buying, you know, lots of fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. So me, if I wanted to eat poorly, I could probably spend $150 a month on food if I wanted to eat poorly. But I don't eat poorly, so I'm buying meats that's lean, and I'm buying lots of fish. Even though we ain't paying no VAT down the road, as far as I know, so $250 is what I estimate. Okay, so if all those items I was paying VAT on, and I assume I'm paying VAT on them because they charge what I only could know what the people charge me at the food store. So that would be 5% of $250. So I'm spending $12.50 a month on VAT. And so I would not be paying $12.50. So that's like around the average Candia Dames has in her article. She has $11+. So I'm at $12.50, right? Because of my, but this is me solo. When I had all my folk at home, we were spending like between $400 and $600 a month, $800 a month to $1,000 a month on food. So we were spending $1,000, let's say, and we were looking at $50 we were spending a month on food, and that would be, VAT, we would have been spending $50 VAT, which would be a savings of $600 in the year. Now, the question that I would want, when we do your calculation now, the question is the calculate meaningful for you? See, I can't tell you what is meaningful for you. I could tell you what is meaningful for me. But I can't tell you what is meaningful for you. Now, so if I am saving $12.50 a month, solo as I am now, I'm saving $150. Do I like saving $150? Of course I like saving $150. Would I describe $150 as a significant savings as the government or the prime minister puts it? No, I would not. Not to me. It wouldn't be a significant, but I don't mind saving $150. See, because the reality, there's a reality to this, and there's a political context to this, okay? The reality is meaningful only means meaningful to me. So if I think $150 is meaningful, and I'm grateful to vote for somebody on the basis of that, that's to me. Now, the political context, the government wants you to feel that this is meaningful for you. Because it is hoping you get to take this and say, having saved $12 a month, $11 a month, $28 a month, I like that, and I therefore am going to translate that into, you did a good thing for me, and that translates into, maybe you get to vote for me, or no, you will vote for me. That's a political context. But it all boils down to what is meaningful for you. If you are a below average household who makes, let's say, $15,000, $20,000 a year, right? And you spend above average on your food, because typically lower income households spend a larger percentage of their household income on food, because they're living nearer to subsistence living. So they don't have a lot to be able to go and splurge on. So a lot of it is spent on food. So let's say you're making $20,000 a year and you're spending 25% of that annually on food. Okay? Well, that means that you're spending on a yearly basis, $5,000 on food a year. And that means you're spending $416.67 a month on food. And if 5% of that you're going to save, that means that you get to save $20.83 a month because of the VAT savings. So the question for you is $20.83 a month available to you, something that you are going to cherish? Are you going to feel okay about? Are you going to feel good about? Are you going to feel like, man, that don't make no difference to me? That's the question. But you have to do that for you. This isn't about some broad sentiment that people will have, because everyone isn't in the same situation. Some people, even if the savings were $50 or $100, because of their economic circumstances, they may in fact feel like it ain't mean, you know, they got a lot of debt, they got a lot of this going on, and that don't really mean much, okay? This text says, keep in mind, total savings for the entire population is $15 million according to the government. Of course, people will say it different amounts, but $15 million across the population ain't nothing to create wealth, as PM claims. Not even, I didn't get there yet, but yeah, absolutely, let's get there. He said the tax cut will help create wealth among Bahamians. I'm going to get there, because that's a great point, because I'm going to get there. I already have that to look at. But let's do the calculation for people first. So it's, the question is, how much would you save? So tell me what you spend on food, and then let's go ahead and determine what that will mean for you as a consumer. We're going to take a break, our first break, and then when we come back, we will continue our conversation. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today. What you do best, caring for your patients while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about the savings we could have from the VAT reduction to 0%. So let's start again. So we want to know what you're going to save, not what I'm going to save, what you're going to save. So I spend about $250 a month on food, which for me means I would save $12.50 a month, which would be for me $150 a year. The $600 I talked about was if I was spending that $1,000 on my entire household when we all were in the same space. We are not now. My kids are all over the place and so forth. So my spending is mostly a solo spending, right? And as I indicated, I'm spending on lots of healthy stuff, so my thing gets ratcheted up. So that $600 savings would have been a $50 a month savings for that household. For me, it's $150 a year. Is $150 a year for me a great deal? No, it's not a great deal. I don't mind it. I'm not gonna curse it. I'm not gonna get angry about it. But no one's gonna convince me that that's a great deal for me. Now you say, was that a great deal for some other person who's not making as much money? Yeah, but it's still only $150 a year, though, right? Let's be real, right? So the question now is, what do you get? You get in savings. So tell me, what are you spending? Somebody text me. What are you spending, you think, on grocery? You can tell me what you're doing in the week. I'll do the monthly. What? Come on, text me somebody. 4224796. 4224796. Somebody, 4224796. So you can call 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. 323-4259. All right. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, gracious usual, Miss Lang. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Great there, Chief. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, my brother.
Yeah, man. Okay, I just want to chime in on the topic, right? Honestly, okay. I really did not feel that much significant in the reduction, right? Based on the fact
that it hasn't happened yet.
I don't think I will feel a significant effect on it, right? I can tell you the reason why, right?
Okay.
He went to the food store, right? And for some strange reason, my from Nabit. The girl go and pick up some potato chips, right, from the one, Southern Fresh Market, right there by Charlottesville, right? Man, she pick up four potato chips, right? The bill counted like about $120-some. And that ain't even the meats yet. And that ain't even, like, the drinks yet. She like that lemonade. You know, the lemonade will go in there cost for $12. We buy for two of them.
I don't know.
Once again, that ain't the meats yet. Right? When you add on the lamb chop and all that, right? You spend probably about almost $500. And you do that basically like on a 2-week basis.
So you spend about $1,000 a month?
No, listen.
Hold on, bro. Because really, we can't get into like your particular. You see, we can't have like a moving target. On average, people spend a certain amount a week. And so I'm asking you, what do you spend on average a week?
I'll say probably a little over 1,000, $500 a week.
Okay, so you're doing about $2,000 a month on grocery.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay, so that means then if all of that is viable, then that means that you get to save $100 a month on grocery. So
right.
you will save $1,200 a year. Do you regard that as something?
I don't think I can sell it.
No, bro, listen to me. If the items are viable and you are spending $500 on average a week, you're going to save the 5%. You are going to save that. That's $25 in the week. Right?
Well, I can't wait to feel that then.
Well, because it's going to happen. If what you say is correct, then that means that you are going to save about $1,300, period. And $1,300, you could do something with $1,300 in a year. That's almost a ticket to China. All right. Anyone else? Let's see what you're doing. He doesn't think he's going to get a great savings, but, you know, I mean, I can't tell him what a great savings is. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Very pleasant. Good afternoon. Happy New Year 2026 to you and your family, Chicago.
Thank you, man. Same to you, Anton. What's going on?
Right here, man. And good afternoon to the nation and very same blessings to the nation. Happy New Year, etc. 2026. I'm in the opposing view on the analysis done.
What opposing view on the analysis? What do you mean?
Okay, and so there was one hullabaloo position, right?
No, Anton. Okay, Anton. Let me stop you there. Chivago Sean Lang on Z Live is doing a basic calculation, and this is the question I ask, and this is the one I would really love you to zoom in on. If you are someone who spends X amount a week on food, we're simply asking the question, how much savings would that be for you, and is it meaningful? I don't know what the opposition said. I don't care what the opposition said. This is about a very basic question.
Let me ask you a question based on a previous conversation you and I had relating to Mambat on food, right? You remember suggesting, as I would have agreed with the suggestion that you made, that the government should move ahead and completely reduce the VAT to zero on
But that's what they did, right?
Right. No, I'm just asking if you recall that conversation.
Yeah, but that's what they've done. Antoine, right. But I'm asking a basic question. I only want you to stay on top because I'm going somewhere. But Kevin, is the pair question is, how much do you spend and what is the percentage? What does that mean to you in savings from this? Because I think any amount of savings is good. It's better than not saving. And then secondly, is it meaningful for you? Because you could have a savings that you think, okay, good, I'm glad I'm getting a savings, but it mightn't be meaningful. All right. Did he drop? Oh, he's gone? Okay. This text says, so savings will be about $30 per month for this texter. This can't even purchase gas for my car, so not much for me. Well, it can purchase gas for your car. $30 can purchase gas. If gas is like $5, that could purchase you six gallons of gas. And so the question is, how many miles do you get per gallon? If it's 20, 30 miles per gallon, then so it can buy you gas. So, yeah, so your gas is $30 per week, but that $30 is like a high percentage of 1 week. All right. So I'm saying, folks, the question is it meaningful for you? So I guess the answer for you is it's not meaningful. But we don't need to make statements that are not true or, you know, exaggerated, because $30 can buy gas. $30 can buy gas. Okay. $30 can buy me a week's worth of gas. But that's a week. Is that meaningful for me? Depends on me. Right? It can buy gas. All right. So let's see. Let's see someone else here. Says, glad you stopped. And listen, we have to be focused. See, but I keep telling y'all, right? We are close to election and things get put in the backdrop of an election. My question is, if you call me and text me and say, oh man, that savings is meaningful to me, what can I say? Bro, stop being foolish. No, this is about you. Not me. It's about you. All right? This says, you will really see savings if you reduce VAT from medication and holistic health items also. And why is there VAT on the BPL bill? It is already a bill. Okay. All right. This text says, my household grocery bill monthly $700, family on three and a half. My daughter who don't live sleeps on the weekends, but $550 on food. So $150 on detergent and other items, not food. All right. So $550 means then that, and you said that's a week. Let me see. That's a week. Monthly. Okay. So $550 monthly will save you $27.50 per month. So you will save $330 a year. Is that meaningful for you? Is it meaningful for you, to save $330 a year? That's the question. This text says, my wife and I spend an average of $500 to $600 per month for our family. Okay. So that means that you can save anywhere from $25 to $30 a month. Anywhere from $25 to $30 a month. And so you can save on an annual basis anywhere from $300 to $900 a year. Anywhere from $300 to $900 a year for you. Is that meaningful to you? That's the question. This text says, Mr. Lang, I spent $350 every 2 weeks. So that means you spend $175 a week for a household of five, and I still don't have enough funds to buy everything. Okay, $75 a week. That means that you get to save, if all those items are variable. You get to save $8.75 a week, and that means you get to save $105 a year. Question is? Did I drop producer or something? Hello? Oh, producer, yes, sir. Yes, producer, no problem. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we take another break. We'll be back after this break.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wendy's has brand new chicken tenders.
And they're everything you've been craving.
Crispy, juicy,
and seasoned just right.
These tenders bring the flavor from the very first bite.
Dip them,
dunk them,
love them.
With sauces like sweet chili,
scorching hot,
ranch,
honey barbecue,
honey mustard,
and Wendy's signature sauce.
Grab them as a kid's meal.
Enjoy them on their own.
Or make it a combo
that hits the spot
every time.
For tenders you're gonna know by name,
it's gotta be Wendy's.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Siobhan Rolang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So let me tell you guys something, right? So I am hardwired for internet now. So I don't expect unreliable, like any shifty, stuffy with Wi-Fi. So if we drop it, it'll be really something unusual for me, right? But thank you for joining us. And if you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So this text says, good day, Mr. Lang. I spend about $500 a week on groceries. So that means you spend about $2,000 a month. So you're going to get about $100 a month in savings. And that's about $1,200 in the year. Now, I'm going to give you all a caveat to all of this. This fat reduction to zero provides me with no savings as I pay $1,200 for rent a month, $2,000 monthly on food, $200 monthly on gas. That's not even pop-ups because I have young kids, school fees not included, etc. Well, actually, you can't look at it that way, though. That's not fair to the way things work, because even now with VAT at 5%, you still have all those things. But if the VAT goes to zero, you at least will not have the VAT under $2,000 a month. So yes, you are going to have a savings. You can't say you don't have a savings. Now, you could tell me you don't think it's meaningful, but you can't truly say you don't have a savings, because that would not be true. Because having VAT or not having VAT doesn't change the fact that you have to pay rent and school fees and those kinds of stuff. So you are going to get a savings. The question is, you're not going to feel it. You're saying because of all the other expenses that you have. Okay, this text says, I would like to see VAT off medication and education. Wouldn't you and other people have a VAT off of funeral services and stuff like that? So I spend $230 per week on groceries. Okay, $230 a week means then that if all of those items are VATable, then you're going to save $11.50 a week, which is about $46 a month, which is about $552 a year savings for yourself. Okay? So is that meaningful for you to spend, to save that amount? This text says, oh my God, Mr. Lang, I see why they put you on the radio for 12 p.m. You really think $11 is savings? Or if a person is spending $2,000 a month on about 1 week of grocery is savings. Everything is savings. If you're not paying it, it's a saving. See, I'm not here to make you feel good about your notion of something. Okay? I'm here to speak the facts and reality of life. If I used to spend $2 and I'm no longer spending $2, I have a savings. That's a fact. You can't argue about that because of your feelings. You can't argue about that because of your politics. You can't argue about that because of your religion. That's a fact. Now, what you can do because of your feeling, your politics, and your religion is say, oh, I don't think that's a lot. That's on you. That's not on Zhivago Line on Z Live. I have to tell you what the facts are. If the government takes VAT from 5% to 0%, you're going to have a savings. Now, I have a caveat to that, and we'll talk about the caveat in a minute. This says, good afternoon. Year to date, I have spent $126.30 on food. So if all of that was VATable, then that means that you have spent $6.32 on VAT year to date. Okay? Now, so let me say something. To have all of the VAT savings come April, to have all of it, prices in April will have to be the same as prices today. Right? I mean, so what do I mean by that? You can get higher savings, right? Higher savings if the price increases. So let's say your grocery bill goes from $100 a week to $120 a week because the prices have gone up. The prices have gone up, right? That means then that where you would have gotten a savings of $5, you are now going to get a savings of $6, right? Now, so you get a savings of $6, but you are now spending $20 more than you were spending before. So your net scenario is a negative because you are now spending $14 more than you were spending before. So your budget has been hit by $14. So what the VAT did was reduce the impact of the increase on your budget, but in effecto did not make you, well, in effecto, your economic, your financial circumstances are worse if the prices go up. Do y'all see? I don't understand that. Please text me and say, Lang, explain that again. I don't understand that. Let me give you another example. If $100 you pay the day in grocery bill a week. If the store owners say, oh, my supplier's charging me more for this, the utility going up, so I have to do this, or they decide they want more profits and so forth, and they take up the price of things, they have to pay more salaries, and so now your grocery bill is $120, while the VAT savings to you goes up from $5 to $6, the net impact on your financial circumstances is a negative $14 because you are paying $14 more than you were paying. So the VAT can reduce the impact of a cost increase to you, but you can still end up in an overall worse financial situation. This text is, you're correct, it's not really meaningful for me. Okay, I got you. That's the person who was saying that because of all the other expenses, they would not have been saved, get me any savings. This says, don't like it, but I get it. Do you foresee a food increase? Well, here's the thing, right? Inflation isn't zero. Inflation isn't zero. So if inflation isn't zero, then the chances are there could be some increases, right? If the things happening on the global scene continue to create economic instability as it is, as it tends to seem to be portraying, then you could see some logistical issues in the global economic supply chain, and that could create some challenges, that could create some price increases. I don't foresee any meaningful change in prices over the next 6 months to a year. I don't see it, but you know, I don't know. This world is so dynamic, you know, you just don't know. But there you have it. There you have it. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to look at this question of wealth. Prime Minister says this can help people create wealth. And there are some people who might have a view toward that, which I could understand. But let's look at it when we come back from the break. So on average, I would say people seem to be looking at possible savings of between the $11 that the Nassau Guardian's article alluded to, or up to $50, depending on their circumstances, right? So, you know, is that most people don't seem to be the ones who text it in, don't seem to think that's meaningful, but, you know, that's on you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. I have somebody who wants to argue with me about $11 and try to make the case that $11 ain't nothing. And this is their statement to me. Mr. Lang, I bet you could buy a house or a car with $11 savings per month, which is exactly $110 at the end of the year. And I mean you, only you. And you are stupid if you believe that. You are stupid. I'm being facetious now. You are being stupid if you believe that I believe I could buy a car with $11 a month saving. That's stupid. All right? So if you want to, so is this a continuation of his point or her point? And I mean you only. I also wonder what bank would provide a loan for a customer saving $11 per month. That's, again, a very stupid question. It's a stupid question. It's an ignorant question, right? And you are just being facetious. But can I tell you something? Is $5,000 or more a lot of money? Is it a good piece of change you would like to have in your hand? Anybody? Well, you know, if you had $11 invested in a bond that pays 6% interest, 6%. Now, of course, you can't buy a bond for $11. You'd have to pay $100, but you'd be getting 6% on each $11 of your $100. Well, that's $5,000 in 20 years. And only a person who doesn't understand the nature of savings, don't understand the nature of financial planning, don't understand the nature of putting away for the future would think to themselves, oh, that ain't nothing. But you keep, tell the government to don't reduce the VAT on food then. Let's see if that makes you better off. So now I wonder, is zero savings better than $11? Zero savings, is that better than $11 savings? $11 is 110% more than zero. Okay? I'm not arguing for the government that this is a great amount of money for people, but what you can't do is say it's nothing. That would be a lie. It would be ignorant to say that. Okay? That's the point. Because the facts are the facts. Don't get angry with me. For me, that $11 in VAT savings will go a long way towards my personal wealth creation. It could. If you put the money to use, it could. It actually could. This text, Mr. Lang, as I see it, the government should not have taken VAT off those items. What should have been done was to increase the payment by 15% or so to those who benefit from social services and other government assistance. To remove VAT from those items gives restaurants and fast food enterprises reduced costs and greater income while government gets less revenue. That's a good argument to make. I can't say that's a bad argument at all. I really can't. It's actually quite a good thinking on your part. It says, in your topic regarding VAT savings, general speaking, savings of any amount, small or large, is a help. My only thing is, I feel these VAT reduction during this time is an election campaign impression. I mean, you can get that impression. That isn't unreasonable at all. Not at all. Okay. So I used the example just now of taking $11 and putting that away a month. And what it could do and accrue over 20 years, assuming a interest payment of 6%. And you say, well, like $11, what I could invest for $11? Well, if you take the $11 and put it away for 10 months, that'll give you $110. you could buy a government bond for $100, which means you could let the government keep, you could keep that bond for 20 years and it would get you $15,000, right? I keep putting the $11 away and over 20 years you could get $5,000, sorry, $5,000, right? So it can help build wealth for someone who uses it. Now, can it build extraordinary? See, we think wealth is, when we hear wealth, we hear millionaires and billionaires. That's not wealth. The definition of wealth is that it is a stock of income, really, okay? So what wealth is if I earn $1,000 a month and I spend $900 a month and I have $100 that I put away and just let it stay there, then that means I have a wealth. I've just accumulated $100 in wealth. So wealth is a stock. Income is a flow. So when we talk about wealth, we're talking about how much of your income you have allowed to stock up, whether that's in bonds or securities or emergency savings accounts or investments in securities or land. Wherever you've allowed your money to build up in a holding and an asset, that's wealth to you. Okay, that's a stock. So if you take $11 a month and you let it accumulate to the end of the year and you have $110 at the end of the year, then you have a stock of wealth that you have created. Now, is $111, $110, $120, $200 as a stock of money you have in your possession meaningful to you? Well, that's on you. But the fact of the matter is it represents wealth. So wealth isn't just the billionaires and millionaires. Wealth is the thousandaires, the hundredaires. As long as it's money that you have built up and you are holding that you can put to use, it is wealth. And so is the Prime Minister correct that it can help create wealth? Yes, he's correct. But the notion that it's wealth in the way that people think, oh, I'm better, I'm so much better off now, et cetera. No. But it can help build wealth. That's true. It says, Mr. Lang, restaurants will buy the cheaper products from the food store and still charge the same prices. Well, this is all, again, this all depends on what the store owners do, whether they pass the savings on. So if in April, let's say in April, the prices remain the same as they are today. In order for you to get the benefit of the reduced VAT, then the stores will have to keep those prices at zero, at the same amount, sorry, right? They have to keep them at the same amount. That's the only way you're going to benefit from the zero. But if they change the prices and increase the prices, that ain't going to necessarily help you. If they increase prices by 5%, you're going to still have zero VAT, but you're going to net out a lot of that savings, if not all. So again, there's a government. That's why the person who suggested that the government should have given the monies to like subvent people who are having a more difficult time, that's a more direct subvention. It cannot be manipulated by store owners, etc., and it would go directly to people the most in need. Right? Everyone loves the savings, even rich people, but the government savings by reducing a tax could mean increased deficit for the government if it hasn't identified a means of recovering the lost revenue. Now, with the greatest respect to the Minister of Economic Affairs, who says that the government will get this money back by economic growth, that's like nebulous talk. That's nebulous talk. That's just nebulous talk. That test, you cannot. You first of all, the government calculated what growth would likely be during the fiscal budget presentation. So so whatever the growth is, that was already built in. Unless the government sees that there's going to be higher growth than they had anticipated, you can't say that this is going to take care of that. And the growth has to be, it can't just be the growth of the economy, because the economy can grow in ways that don't accrue some amount of revenue to the government, because it can grow in non-revenue ways, right? It can grow in spaces where the government doesn't charge that much revenue. Let me give you an example. If a number of people decide to get new homes, right, and they are under $200,000, $250,000 a year, well, the new homes purchase would represent growth, but that don't mean revenue for the government, because there's an exemption on those, right? So it's not sufficient. I'm sorry, it's not sufficient for the Minister of Economic Development to simply say, Economic Affairs, to simply say, we're going to make that up from growth. That's too broad. That's not specific. That does not reflect any analytical thinking. That he would have to translate that growth into government revenue. Tell us where they see that growth resulting in revenue for the government, right? And if he had to make a case to meaningful, studious investors about this foregone revenue, he couldn't say, oh, we're going to make that up in growth and expect them to be satisfied. No analyst would be satisfied just hearing that. IMF making this case to international credit rating agencies, it would not be sufficient to say, we will make that up in growth. But that's the explanation you're getting. This text says, Mr. Lang, switching to solar has reduced my electricity bill from $700 to $12 per month. So by that token, I should vote for myself. That's great savings. That's a great savings. See, that's somebody who's doing something. Instead of letting things just happen to them, they did something about it. Now, I know that costs you a little pretty penny to get it done in the first instance, but yes, you'll see the savings, and that's a good thing. All right, okay. There you go. That's what's happening. Now, I read again in The Guardian, those of us who try to keep up with what's happening in the world. We read. And then I read Mr. Mitchell, the Minister of Foreign Affairs and Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party and MP for Fox Hill, says that the FNM would fire civil servants if elected. Sand says no. So that Fred Mitchell made last election, he says that no one listened to him last election too, and he made these claims that the FNM would fire civil servants. Now, when asked about this, Dwayne Sands labeled that plain and simple rubbish. He said the PLP's candidates committee met on Thursday, and we are pretty close to final recommendations to NGC, that is the National General Council. He said it's clear that we are headed toward a general election. This causes me to reflect. Listen to what he said now. This is what Dr. Dwayne Sands said. This causes me. He didn't say FNM. He said me. To reflect on the role of the public service. They are the gatekeepers, the protectors of the integrity of the system. Okay? Says, I reflected on it because we face in the alternative a political group that has demonstrated desire for... this is what Fred Mitchell is saying now. In 2007, speaking in Marathon, I warned Bahamians they would be fired from their jobs as soon as the FNM took office. Okay. So, again, I have indicated to you we are in the throes of a political season. Many things you will hear will be set against the backdrop of an election. So let's look at the facts on the ground. Mr. Mitchell says that the FNM will fire civil servants. Okay. Now, Mr. Mitchell knows that, well, what Mr. Mitchell said was that I warned Bahamians they would be fired from their jobs as soon as the FNM take over. As soon. Now, the FNM came to office in 2017. And as soon as they came to office, who were fired? Who got fired? How many people got fired? I mean fired. I don't mean you had a contract that came to an end and it wasn't renewed. I don't mean that, because that happened when the PLP came to office, when the FNM came to office. It happened under Ingram, Christie, Menace. That some of that happens. I don't mean that. I'm asking who was fired, meaning you have a legitimate contract, you have a civil service, permanent, pensionable job, and you was fired. I don't even mean you were sent home. Because if you get sent home and you're still being paid, that's not fired. You could call that constructive something, but it isn't a dismissal resulting in income loss. You could call it victimization, etc. But I'm asking who was fired. See, because I want you as Bahamians to be subject to your own thinking and not the stuff you keep hearing from any politician, whether it's FNM, PLP, DNA, or COI. Who was in 2017? Who was fired? In 2012, when the PLP came to office, who was fired? All right, who was fired? Who had a job where they were on the permanent and pensionable establishment and they were fired by the PLP? Where did that happen? You couldn't bring me a case for that to save your own life. You know why? Because to be fired from the civil service, you have to be fired by the Public Service Commission. Ain't no politician could tell you fired and send you home if you are a permanent and pensionable soul. Cannot happen. And if it happened, you think Belinda Wilson, the head of the public service union or the head of the labor union, they can sit around and let the FNM PLP just fire people who were permanent and pensionable established without going through the Public Service Commission? And in great numbers? Not a possible chance. And where did you hear that? When the FNM came to office ever, and the PLP came to office ever, tell me when you heard of any mass firing of any permanent and pensionable people. Never, 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 never. I'll tell you another thing that you don't hear. FNM and PLP, in the course of coming into the public service, not into the civil service, they hire many people into the public service. You know what the difference is? The public service is the broad description of all the entities and agencies and things that the government do to deliver services to the public. That includes quasi-government entities. That includes people who are on contract, consultants and them. All of them on contract. Now, those people are not civil servants. They're public servants, but they're not civil servants. And they are on contract. And their contracts typically have 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Then they hire people who might be on weekly. They're not permanent and pensionable. So they are part of the public service, but they're not part of the civil service. Because the politicians hire them. They're political appointed and politically hired people. FNM, PLP do this. Right? You can do that. If that's what you want to do, you can do that. If you contracted persons on political appointments by you, and you could bet your bottom dollar that if that happens, 90%+ of these people are politically connected people, meaning they are people that the political people believe are people who supported them and therefore deserve some of their patronage. Or they have some particular expertise that they want to take advantage of. Now, even if the government changes and you want to fire, meaning you want to end their contract, you have to do it within the terms of the contract, meaning you have to either pay the people out
or they'll take you to court so you could be mad to pay them out. But you can't just say, you're fired, and that's the end of it. Now, that might happen in one or two circumstances, but I can tell you, anybody who's ever been in that situation, take the government to court, and I know people who have taken the government to court and won. Right? So you could do that. But the notion that the government changes and the FNM or the PLP will just mass fire people is an absolute insanity to think in this country, in the way our things are structured and in the way our history has gone. It would be an absolute incredible happening for such a thing to happen. And I would have to describe any such notion. So Mr. Mitchell said, this is what Mr. Mitchell said. He said, no one understood until 2,500 people were laid off by the FNM within months of their coming to office. So let me ask you a question, folks. How is it possible for the FNM to lay off 2,500 people? How did 2,500 people get in the civil sustainable people? I assure you, and if I would dare anyone to bring me evidence that 10 civil servants were fired by any political party, FNM or PLP, when they came to office. Fired. Right? That the Public Service Commission fired them because the political party coming to office said they can fire them. How did 2,500 people get into the public service in a circumstance in which they could be laid off when the government changed? Answer that question for me. Somebody answer that question for me. Let me repeat it. This is Minister Mitchell. No one understood until 25 people, I'd love to see the list of those 2,500 people, by the way, were laid off by the FNM within months of their coming to office. My question to you is, please tell me how 2,500 people got in the public service to be in a situation where on change of government, they could be laid off. What was their status for that to be able to happen? That's my question to you. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand, come this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've tried a way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BEMC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks, and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the
storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lani, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, if we had the Freedom of Information Act, as somebody just reminded me, we could know when the FNM came to office in 2017, what we could ask for all the people who were laid off, and we could ask when were they hired and what were the conditions of their hiring? Were they on weekly? Were they on monthly? Were they on contract? Were they on personal and personal, permanent and pensionable establishment? We could find out. So we could know what nonsense the FNM did. And then we could know the same thing when the PLP came to office in 2021. And as far back as the Freedom of Information would allow, we could find out what these parties were doing, including when I was in office. What nonsense did y'all do in terms of hiring people? How many people were hired just before election? Because you could know, you can ask, when were these people engaged? So the 2,500 people to which the minister alludes, you could ask the question, when were they engaged? And then we can know all the facts. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. You for always justifying your views to give us an educational experience of government. Your love for this country is so appreciated. Thank you. I appreciate that. It says, this continuing campaigning by you and the Guardian need to stop. Last administration laid off temporary workers. Stop your lies. It happened. Why did you and the Guardian did the same thing when bread basket item was 0%? Thank to God only a handful of people listen to this garbage station. But thank God you are one of those handful of people listening. Why would you listen to a garbage station? Think about what you're saying about yourself if you listen to a garbage station with a handful of people. And why would you be concerned to text me if only a handful of people listen to this garbage station? And why would so many people contact us to come on this garbage station for the people? I know what the problem is. You're politically hurt by the truth. I understand that. And did I say the FNM didn't lay off people? I didn't say that. You hear me say that? Or you hear me asking the question? What was the circumstances under which it was possible for the FNM, as the minister says, to lay off 2,500 people? But I understand you're interested in the truth. You're interested in your political sensitivity and narrative. Been there, done that. I understand that. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
What's going on, man? All is well?
Yeah. But you know, I can listen to your political views, right? And so is balance. And so I don't have a problem with that. But I just want to ask a question.
Mm.
You know, I like the point about the freedom of the information, but I just want to ask a question as it relates to inflation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember all the types of inflation, but I just, there's a conversation I had with you earlier. Tell me something. The inflation, they use the term transitory, so I have an idea what it means, but does it really go down or it just sticks and goes on and on? Because, I mean, when we look at throughout history, just give your experience on inflation, because for me, it never seems to go away. It's just always going. So just hang up and listen.
Yeah. Inflation is a constant reality of most economic situations. So most countries will have some inflation. And so you live with inflation, maybe around 1%, 2%, as far back as you could trace. From we've been recording, you'll see inflation. So, and then what happens is, and so you have what you call modest inflation. So you might have 1%, 2%, 3%.
When you start getting in that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8% category, now you're talking about really normal for a stable economy. And then if you start talking about an inflation of 100%, 200%, 300%, them kind of stuff, now you're talking about hyperinflation. So hyperinflation is not normal for stable economies. You know, you have modest inflation that, you know, 1%, 2%, 3%, that's standard, that's normal. So inflation does rise and fall. So you can share 1% the next year, 3% the next year, and so forth. So you can have little fluctuations of inflation within a narrow band, but, you know, that's normal in a dynamic but stable economy. But situations where inflation is rising out of control, 1 year is 10%, next year is 20%, and next year is 30%, next year is 40%, and next year is 100%, that's crazy inflation, and that's hyperinflation scenario that people, countries can start in the modern Bahamas. And, you know, so, and we import our inflation. So unless you see America and the jurisdictions from which we import have those same experiences, it's unlikely the Bahamas will have self-generated significant inflation. All right? This text says, civil servants got fired before it was the air traffic controllers under PM Ingram, but it was not because the FNM came to power. Civil servants get fired. I'm not arguing about civil servants getting fired. I'm arguing about the notion that people come to office and just fire civil servants, 25 civil servants. That ain't happen, right? If you do something, and again, you can only be fired as a person by the Public Service Commission. They hire you, they fire you, okay? That's the only way. And so you have due process and all that kind of stuff. And if you want, you can hire your lawyer and get your lawyer and so forth. You can't just willy-nilly as a politician, I don't care if he's a prime minister of the Bahamas, you fired. Can't happen. You hear those permanent secretaries called? Permanent secretaries. They will shake the hand of the minister going out and shake the hand of the minister coming in. They might even tell the, as the one comedy in the UK used to say, the permanent secretary would be there saying, old minister, meet new minister. That's why they call permanent secretary. That's why they call the permanent civil service. You ain't firing them easy. This text says, no one was fired as I recall. Not fired in the sense that we understand. No. You got sent home because people didn't properly document your situation. They had you on weekly, or they gave you a contract that only lasted 6 months, a year, or so like that, and it expired. That's a different story. If somebody sent you home and paid out your contract, well, you got fired. That's for sure. This text says, that was a great explanation of inflation. So in a failing economy, inflation goes haywire, so to speak. Yeah, in an economy that's really under immense stress, yes, you can have hyperinflation. We saw that in Latin America in the 80s and 70s. We saw that in maybe even in the 60s. We saw that in some parts of the Africa. You some really serious inflationary pressures. Even in Jamaica, they had some significant inflation for a time. Because what inflation does is it really makes the value of your dollar diminish in terms of real value, because the prices of things are so high, don't even go half as far, a third as far as it used to go. Inflation is something an economy definitely wants to avoid. I mean, significant inflation. As I said, you have to live with some levels of inflation. If your salaries go up, if the general wages of people in the workforce goes up, you're going to have some inflation, because the employer is going to pass that cost on to the consumer by raising prices. So you're going to live with some level of inflation if you expect people to have increases in their incomes. All right? I said to you all years ago, I didn't say this just a month ago, so I said, listen, we know election is going to come up, and we're going to pay attention. We're going to pay attention to what they say, because we want to make sure that people are kept, to the extent possible,
honest about what they are saying. So let me give you an example. So the deputy leader of the Free National Movement, Shannon Ann Cartwright, called for environmental considerations related to SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket boosting landings before any resumption of the program. Fair, that's fair. But I hope that this is a principled position by the Free National Movement. I hope it's a principled position, meaning if another, what the company name what was trying to do the, was it a natural gas project? What's the company name now? We had a file went missing, people say. flack for the way it handled this company. Yeah, please remind me. I just hope that when and if any government comes to office after the next election, that they all agree to transparency in the dealings with projects that come before them. All on them. Not just the PLP. All on them. Because if you call for transparency today, and if you happen to get in office and you don't act in this way going forward, boy, licks coming your way. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hi. Yes. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing. How you doing?
Good, man.
Just
what's up?
I want to make a contribution to your show.
Okay.
I was listening to the topic about being able to dismiss civil servants.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. Oh, I'm so glad you called because you was once the head of the public service union in the country.
Yes, sir. By extension, you know, they're also protected by the industrial. I mean, they're also protected by the industrial group made between the public service union and the government.
Absolutely.
Good. But let me just say this. You can say what you want to say about Dr. Menace and the FNM administration in the past. The one thing you got to give them credit for, not one civil servant lose their job during the pandemic. And that's the time when the government had a right to all the 6 weeks employee persons who were working. At that time, the government had a right to let them all go, their contract expired. And we kept all on. As far as I know, those who were working in the labor department were all kept on. Nobody was terminated.
It's
the PLP administration, especially under Fred Mitchell, who called me ignorant because I refused to allow the government then to put civil servants on a 5-year contract before he made the principal permanent. His exact words to me was, John, people only want to use the public service. They get qualified going to the private sector. I said, Minister Mitchell, I cannot agree to that. Because if I agree to that, you're disadvantaging those people that can't borrow no money, have no borrowing power, anything for 5 years. So you can say what you want to say. Civil servant during the pandemic.
Hold on. Let me see if I can understand what you're saying. You were saying Fred Mitchell was suggesting that after the contract expired with civil servants, that they all be put on 5-year contracts?
No.
Oh.
For the implementation of the contract of these fiscal program, some contract.
Okay.
And we ought to allow persons to come into public service for 5 years to get experience to then go into the private sector because that's why they wanted to use the public service for a stepping stone to get qualified or some experience to go into the private sector. Because I was president of the United States, I said I could not agree to that because had I agreed to that, those persons could not borrow, had no borrowing power or nothing permanent that they could have taken to a lending institution to get any sort of financing. So I didn't agree to it. That's the fiscal relief program came into play, and they started to just use that. But I'm just saying, those persons who are in there during the time their contract expired under the pandemic, none were laid off.
That's that 52-week program is now... that now 15-week program, 15-year program, 15-year.
I don't know. I'm going to speak to this now, but I can say this to you. Because the government was in violation of allowing persons to continue their employment, we could not agree for non-oil persons to be terminated because they had continuous employment. And the ILO convention speaks to that. If you allow these people to have continuous employment, you got to consider them to become pensionable and permanent. If not, it's called exploitation. You're exploiting them. So we want to prevent the government from explaining, the federal government, from explaining those workers who are on these 50-week programs.
And they say Chicago Line ain't ever do nothing in the government. 52-week program.
No, I know better. But people say these things. I just thought I'd clarify that. Because I think it's unfair. And the leader of the opposition spoke this morning. I heard him. Briefly, I heard some of his comments. And he was right. It doesn't make any sense for a politician, COI or PLP, to terminate a civil servant because you think they didn't support you. How in the world are you going to get their support moving forward? And that's the point the leader of the opposition made this morning. He was able to get PLPs and grandmama to support him. That's the reason why he's successful in winning two consecutive terms.
But you also know, though, this is what is important. You also know a permanent civil servant on the permanent pensionable establishment cannot be fired but by the Public Service Commission. True or not true?
That is correct. Okay. It's them who give you a letter of appointment. It's them who you have to be terminated by. And then you even have an appeals area after that. You can appeal.
After that.
The Public Service Appeal Board. If the public terminate you, and you feel that it was a breach in their contract or determination.
And just to be clear, if Zhivago Sean Lang, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, decide, you know what, I can fire 10 civil servants today, don't go through the Public Service Commission, tell me what the Public Service Union can do.
Listen, the amount of demonstration and repercussions you'll be faced with, you'll bring them back so quickly it wouldn't be funny. Now, what they do, depending on your rank, they put you on administrative leave, but they don't touch your benefits, they don't touch your salary.
That's my point. I say they could send you home, but if you're unpaid, that ain't firing. They just affected the terms of your engagement. Now, let me ask you another question because you were there. How is it possible, even if it were possible, for under change of government for 2,500 people to be laid off? Tell me what their status would have to be in order for that to happen. Situation.
It will never be that large number. It can't be big as that. But a few people who may have been not terminated, who contract were not renewed, would have been consultants. And what happens is a lot of time, like you said, politician for patronage. You were nice to him and helped him in his campaign, or he gave you a job that is personal to the ministry, the minister, not a civil servant, personal to the minister. But the contract might have been signed by the permanent secretary, acting on the advice of the minister. That don't make you pensionable and permanent. That letter came from the Governor General saying on the station today, the meeting was held, and the Governor General acting on advice from the Public Service Commission now makes you pensionable and permanent. That's the only time you're pensionable and permanent. Not because a politician tells the permanent secretary, I want you to hire John Blow. That don't make you pensionable and permanent. And when those contracts come to the end of the government change, they recognize, to the most extent, somebody who is just committed to that particular minister. Mind you, some of them still get to the crack and get permanent and pensionable, you know. Or to another contract.
But some because of them, even though they work
for a particular minister or a particular political party, they do what they're supposed to do. So they're functioning and they're giving the kind of support to the ministry that the permanent secretary or the head of the department is satisfied with. Your evaluation is one that, you work. You don't just get paid to go head my meetings when I have meetings and they're picking my children from school and to make sure the association, another association, or the branch, have refreshments and all that. But that ain't no government job.
Okay. I appreciate you calling, man.
That's the point.
I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. That was helpful.
Not a problem, man.
Okay. Appreciate it. All right. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. Pay our respects to our great sponsors. We'll be back after this final break.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Thank you.
Hungry? Well, Burger King Nassau is turning up the flavor at a great price. The King Meal Deals give you big taste, value, and options for just $5.50, including fat. Love that BK Flame Grill beef? Grab a Rodeo Burger Jr. served with crispy fries and a drink. Or if you like chicken, go for the Rodeo Crispy Chicken Jr. or the six-piece nugget meal, also with fries and a drink. One price, tons of choices, and flavor that hits every time. The King Meal Deals are only $5.50 at Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together, cold or warm. Then you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Thank you for joining us for these remaining moments of the show. This text says, "Hi, Shivago. Should we make a distinction between normal inflation and real estate inflation, which is typically outpacing normal inflation?" Well, you don't. Inflation is inflation. Inflation is a general rise in prices, and it is a composite number. So it includes food inflation. It includes food inflation as in the grocery stores. It includes food inflation as in eating out. It includes real estate. It includes public health. It includes transportation. So when we refer to inflation, we're talking about the general rise in flight in prices. If you want to talk about increases in real estate pricing, that's a particular situation. That's not what we typically call inflation. But we're talking about, when we talk about inflation, we're talking about a general rise in prices, and that's a composite number. Okay. This text says, "Mr. Lang, good afternoon. I find you to be honest and have a balanced talk show. To Mr. Mitchell's comments on FNM will fire civil servants if they win the election. He's too seasoned of a politician to spew such nonsense. I hope the FNM PR addresses this ASAP." Well, I could tell you one thing, and you hear that, and that scares you. That means you don't understand the job you hold. If you are in the permanent and pensionable establishment, you don't understand. Now, if you are somebody who has allowed a politician to put you in a hired position in which you are unsecured, meaning that you look like a political appointee, then, it is conceivable that if your contract comes in and somebody may not renew it, that is possible, just as the PLP has done, just as the FNM has done, okay? So that's possible. I remember a person who got a job as a contractual worker in the government doing some tax revenue collection, did a great job at it, brought in millions of dollars. And when his contract was done and the government had changed, they did not want to renew it. And when he called me, I said, "But bro, to be honest with you, you got the job because I knew you and I knew you were capable of doing this and that. And I gave you that contract." I said, "If the other people don't want to keep you on, then I can't say nothing about that. That's life. Does that go?" Right? I mean, when he got in the private sector and he was trying to get a job, some people were trying to stop him. And I tell him, "Listen, I send the message to them. Mess with that and watch me." Because you can't reach into the private sector trying to victimize people. That's just spiteful and nonsense. And so, some people get where they get because politicians favor them and do for them a favor. That's reality. And if your contract is not renewed by them, when the government changes, well, there you go. And let me tell you something. Political parties in office can, leading up the election, send people go work across here, send them go work across here. When we came to office in 2007, we met people at National Insurance, at different places, with only a letter from the MP, say they should be hired. And the people kept them there. They hadn't been paid. So people do all kind of nonsense trying to get people vote and putting these people in poor positions because the people just, they want a job and it's great to have a job. But if your circumstances are peculiar and shaky, when government change, do not be surprised if something happens that don't make people treat you like a person. Make them treat you like you count and matter, not just at election time. Make them to understand, you understand how the game is played. And tell them, I don't want to be annoying. Let me tell you what has happened to the people who are sophisticated now. You know what I mean? But the people who are sophisticated. Let me tell you what. So let me tell you what they do. Poor little person from over the hill, they give you one weekly contract. Weekly. You know what that means? Say, from week to week, you could be fired. But their friends, these sophisticated folks, so-called, they give them a three-year contract. And guess what they do? Leading up the election, they give them another 3 years to make sure if the other people come in office and want to get rid of them, they got to pay them out for 3 years. So you, if you don't have your own interests at heart, don't expect some people to have it at heart for you. Treat yourself like you matter. Talk to them like you matter. And if you don't understand, come talk to people. Talk to people who know. So listen, they're offering me this and so forth. What you think? Blah, 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 blah. Now, sometimes you can't do nothing about it and you just got to do what you got to do. I understand that. But I'm just saying, as long as you understand the situation you're in as an adult human being, because you can't hire children, as an adult human being, you just have to, know this is what it is. But treat yourself with dignity. Act like you matter, even if other people don't act like you matter. That don't mean be arrogant. That just means be accountable to yourself. Be transparent with yourself. Don't lie to yourself and don't let nobody lie to you. Get the facts. Get the truth. Do the work necessary to understand what is happening to you for the public sector. Understand the situation you are putting yourself in as an adult. See, you could see if children, if people mistreat children, because you could say, well, it's a child. The child didn't understand. But an adult? And if you're 18? If you are 18, under the law, you're an adult. I said my children that. You're 18 now, man. I could only give you advice. I can't tell you what to do. So if you don't have your own self-interest at heart, people treat you how they want to treat you. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Have a great, great afternoon.
Take a stand, everybody.